Chapter 32. Vanderkost. When the guards got bored kicking him, they rolled Vanderkost into the cell and sealed the door. He lay in the dark for some stretch of time, 5 minutes, an hour, not more than that. When he sat up, his ribs and back ached, but not with a deepness or grinding sensation that broken bones carried. The only light was a single recessed LED at the joint where the back wall and ceiling met. Its dimness stole the color from everything, so the little streaks of blood on his shirt only looked black. With nothing better to do, he took a slow inventory of his body, bruised ribs and cheek, swollen eye, abrasions at his wrists where they'd cuffed him. Nothing bad, really. He'd suffered worse, and sometimes at the hands of his friends. Wasn't like this was the first time he'd been arrested. Not even the first time he'd been arrested for something he didn't do. It had always been innards that did it before, though. The more it changes, the more it's still the same, he thought. He found a comfortable spot in the corner where he could rest his head, close his eyes, and see if the anxiety was enough to keep him awake. It was, mostly, but he did manage a little doze before the door broke seal and swung open. Two guards in armor and sidearms, a higher-up in armor too, all Free Navy colors. Probably that was good. People didn't generally dress up for a murder. Emile Jacquard Vanderkost?
A qui?
He said. The higher-up was a thick-faced boy with a brown complexion that matched his eyes. Handsome in his way, but too young for Vanderkost's tastes. He'd come to an age when sex was less about who he fell into bed with and more about who he woke up next to. And the set of people he considered children extended to include men in their early 30s. The pretty child scowled, maybe at Vanderkost and maybe at how he'd been treated. For a moment, the silence in the room made him wonder if they'd leave again. Lock the door and stick him in the dark. The idea made him aware of his thirst.
Agua, yeah?
Kommst,
the boy said. Vanderkost levered himself up to his feet, his abused muscles shrieking, but not badly enough to stop him. The guards fell in, one ahead and one behind, and the boy leading them all like a sad little parade. The room they took him to was brighter, more comfortable, though not by much. A low metal stool was welded to the deck, short enough that sitting on it made Vanderkost feel like he was in some school for children, expected to take a desk meant for a 6-year-old. He'd been questioned by security enough in his life to recognize the little humiliation as the tactic it was. A guard brought him half a bulb of tepid water, watched him drink it, and took it back. The guard stepped out, the door closing behind them. The boy stood at a desk, looking down at him through a floating display. Seeing the display from behind was like seeing someone through a bright mist. Vanderkost waited. The boy took a flat yellow lozenge out of his pocket. Focus drugs, or what Vanderkost was supposed to assume were. The boy put the lozenge under his tongue, sucked thoughtfully for a moment, shuddered. You missed the battle alert yesterday, he said.
I did.
Can you explain that? Vanderkost shrugged.
Deep sleeper when I'm drunk, me.
Didn't hear it.
No say savvy what happened before it was over, yeah?
Savvy to now?
Heard some things, yeah?
Let's go over what you heard then. Vanderkost nodded as much to himself as to the boy. Time to pick his handholds careful. Whatever they were spun up over, this was the time he'd land in it if he spoke the wrong words.
Was a bunch of ships came from the colonies, what I heard. 14, 15 ships all through the rings at the same time. Fast, too. Trying to get to Medina before the railguns took them out, yeah? Only didn't so much. What the guns didn't put holes in, station defenses took out. Some debris hits on the drum hull, aber nothing can be fixed.
The boy nodded, made some notation in the bright air between them.
14 or 15?
Yeah. The boy's eyes hardened.
Was it 14 you heard, or 15?
Vandercost frowned. There was something about the boy's reaction that didn't sit right. If they'd been playing poker, he'd wait to see if the boy's hand was particularly strong or weak, then spend the rest of the night cleaning him out over that hardness. Only there weren't any cards to come down here.
Heard 14 or 15. A phrase. 8 or 10. 6 or 7. Didn't hear a number.
What rings did they come through?
Don't know.
Look at me, the boy said. Vandercost looked up into the boy's light brown eyes.
What rings did they go through?
No savvy. I don't know.
The boy's eyes flickered, looked away. Vandercost scratched his arm, even though it didn't itch. Just to be doing something.
They all came through within 15 seconds of each other, the boy said, and they were going fast.
Any thoughts about that, Mr. Vandercost?
Coordinated, he said. Sounds like they've been talking con Ale Sasa, making plans.
Which, yes, meant they'd found some way to break light speed, bend time, and locate each other in the vastness of the galaxy. Or else, that conversation had been passing through the rings, through Medina. It meant somewhere on Medina Station, somebody had been working against the Free Navy. He'd known that the arrest couldn't be just for missing an emergency shift. Now it came a little clearer what the boy was looking for. Watched the boy watch him understand.
Who told you about the attack?
Heard about it in my work group. Jakulski, Salis, Roberts. Just chap-chap over coffee, yeah?
Another notation made. Anything you think I should know about them? A coldness that had nothing to do with the temperature ran up Vandercost's back, lifted his skin in bumps. Maybe it wasn't only that he'd slept through the alarm. He'd been drunk. Drunk men could sleep through anything. But if he hadn't made the call, and he was near to someone with something worth hiding... Solis had friends in communication. Bragged about them all the time. How he knew what was going on with Duarte and Enaros, what kinds of barks and whines were floating through the rings. Someone was coordinating an attack on Medina. Wouldn't they be in communications? Have to be, ne? And Roberts talking about Callisto and proxy wars. How Duarte's people were maybe using them against Earth and Mars. About how much she hated being caught between the powers like that. She'd been the first one, Vandercost knew, to squint hard at the advisors from Laconia, setting up defenses on the alien station where railgun housings were. Possible that she'd work with the colonies, if it meant shrugging off Laconia and keeping Medina independent. And hadn't Jakulski been at the greeting when the advisors came? He said it had been as a favor to one of the other supervisors. But what if he'd been engineering a chance to put eyes on the enemy? Thousands of people on Medina, living and working, all of them belters, more or less. Most of them OPA before and Free Navy now. But there were some that hadn't known what was coming. Maybe some with family still on Earth, dying under the rockfalls. He didn't know anything about Jakulski's mother, Salas's siblings, Roberts's old lovers. Any of them could just be acting like Free Navy, because it was asking for hell to be anything else. The boy cocked his head, sucked at his focus drugs. Vandercost laced his fingers together and forced out a little laugh.
Easy to see how Okoyo could get paranoid.
Why don't we go over this from the start, the boy said. It went on for hours, it felt like. No hand terminal, no screens that he could see. All Vandercost had to judge by was the animal rhythms of his body. How long it was before he got thirsty again. hungry, when he started feeling sleepy, when he needed to visit the head. He walked the boy through his whole night before the attack, where he'd been, who else had been there, what he'd drunk, how he'd gotten back to his quarters, over and over, pushing at anything he said a little different from another time, pushing him to remember things he didn't really remember, and then coming at him when he got some detail wrong. The boy asked about Roberts, Salis, Jakulski. He asked about who else Vanderkost knew on Medina, who he knew on the soul side of the ring, what he knew about Michio Pa and Susanna Foyle and Ezio Rodriguez, when he'd been at Tycho Station, at Ceres, at Rhea, at Ganymede. They showed him images of the attacks. The ships emerging through the gates, all around the great sphere of gates. He watched them die as tactical images, as telescopic records of real people really dying. Then they talked more, and showed it all to him again. He had a sense that the readouts were subtly different the second time out, another attempt to catch him out on something, but he couldn't say what the changes were. It was exhausting. It was meant to be exhausting. After a while, he stopped trying to keep his answers safe. He'd known enough about interrogation to see that this, wearying and harsh and dull though it was on the gentler end of that spectrum. He had no reason to protect his friends beyond the vague tribalism of being on a work group with them. If they were innocent, the truth would have to be armor enough. For them, and for him, too. They took him back to his cell. No beating this time. Just a hard shove through the door that left him sprawling and knocked his cheek against the wall hard enough to split it. He slept for a while. Woke in darkness. Slept again. The second time he woke, there was a bowl of beans and mushrooms congealing beside the door. He ate them anyway. No way to know how long he'd been there. How long it would all go on. Whether it would get worse. When the door opened again, five people in Free Navy uniforms came in. The brown-eyed boy wasn't among them. And for a moment that made Vanderkost very nervous, like looking for a friend and not finding them. The leader of the new group was laughing with one of her subordinates, checked her hand terminal by holding it up beside his face without paying much attention to him, tapped her screen. "You should go, Pumpo," she said, walking out. "Late for your shift, you." They left the door open behind them, and after a moment, Vanderkost walked out of the cell, out of the security station, into the wide corridors of the drum. His body felt like a rag used for too long. He was certain that he smelled like sick primate and old sweat. The guard had been right. It was almost time for his shift, but he still went back to his hole, showered, shaved, changed into new clothes. He spent a few long minutes admiring the bruises on his face and sides. On a younger man, they could have been badges of endurance. On him, they just looked like an old man who'd caught the toes of a few too many boots. So he was late. He had reason to be. Little rebel him. He found Salis and Roberts deep in the service passageways, testing flow on the sewage intake for the backup recycling plant. Roberts's eyes lit up as he approached, and she threw her arms around him.
"Perdid?"
she breathed against his ear. "Are you okay? We were worried."
"Estue?"
Salis said, reaching across the table for the wasabi-flavored soy nuts.
"They beat you up on nothing?"
The shift done, the three had retired to their usual bar. The breeze from Spinward was as it always was. The thin line of sunlight stretched above them. Vanderkost pushed the bowl toward Salis's fingers.
"Security is police, and police are the same everywhere."
"Still," Robert said, "why bother pushing off the inners if it's just to have a belter foot stepping on our necks instead?"
"Wouldn't talk like that," Vanderkost said, then drank.
water tonight. Might be some time before he went for a long, solid drunk again. Anxious times, these.
Talk how I want to talk,
Robert said, but softly. She turned to her hand terminal. He could see the green and silver of the station feed, same colors it had been before the Free Navy took over. He wondered why they hadn't changed it. A way to give a sense of continuity, maybe. Anything on the feed would have to be vetted, of course. The power of Medina Station was that it was so much not a part of any of the systems on the far sides of the gate. The price of it was that information came from a single source. Back in Sol System, there would be any number of feeds and sub-feeds, some broadcast, some left in storage to be queried and mirrored. Hard to control what got out, maybe impossible. Medina, one set of jammers blocked every unlicensed receiver and transmitter at once. The server came with his hero, textured fungus and soybean curd instead of lamb and beef, cucumber yogurt, a sprig of mint. He reached out for it with a little grunt and a sudden ache. It wasn't the worst beating he'd ever suffered, but he'd still be sore for days.
Why they set you out? Sullis asked. Sprechzella?
No, they didn't say, Vanderkost replied. Or that they wouldn't be back. Maybe they just needed someone to keep you two on schedule. He'd missed two full shifts and come in during the middle of the third. 3 days, almost, lost in the darkness of the security cell. No lawyer, no union representative. He could have asked for one, should have by the rules and customs, but the certainty was solid as steel that it would only have meant more bruises, maybe a broken bone. Vanderkost knew enough of history and human nature to know when the rules weren't the rules anymore. He took a bite of his sandwich, then put it down while he chewed. After this, he'd go home, sleep in his own bed. Sounded like the promise of paradise. He traced fingertips over the split circle on his wrist. It had been a statement of rebellion once. Now, maybe it only made him seem old. Still taking sides in the last generation's fight. My friend in comms, Sullis said. You know what they say? Found a hidden dump in the data core. Walled off. Think it was what they used to coordinate with the colonies. Confirmations came in from all the gates just before the attack hit. Only funny thing? Two ships didn't come through. Sullis cranked his eyebrows up toward his hairline. Vanderkost grunted.
Were asking me about how many ships came through. Like they wanted a number.
Probably why. See if you knew how many came through or how many were supposed to, yeah? Trip you up if you were in on.
But didn't have nothing, Vanderkost said, tapping his forehead with two fingers. Bon besse for me.
Sullis put a hand on his arm. The young man looked pained, aching but not in the muscles and joints. Not the way he was.
You should let me buy you a drink, Koyo. You had a shit week.
Vanderkost shrugged. He didn't know how to explain himself to Sullis or Roberts. They were young. They hadn't seen the things he'd seen. Hadn't done the thing he'd done.
Being picked up by security, locked away, beaten, interrogated.
They didn't scare him in themselves. They scared him for what they said about how it came next. They scared him because they meant that Medina Station wasn't a new beginning in history. It was, and would be, as red in the gutter as every place else humanity had set its flags. Robert sat up, her eyes going wide.
They got...
Sullis let his hand drop, turned to her.
Kay? The mole! The coordinator, they got...
She turned her hand terminal toward them. On it, station security in Free Navy uniforms were walking, eight of them, around a broad-shouldered, squat man with dark hair and a scruff of beard. Vanderkoss thought he looked familiar, but couldn't place him. The image jumped to Captain Samuels, with John Amash standing behind her on one side. Political power and security service, one beside the other, and no light between them. Samuel's lips began to move.
"Turn it up," Salis said.
Roberts fumbled with her terminal, then shifted around between them so they could all see the screen. "Ties not only to the settlements that chose aggression against us, but also the regressive forces back in Sol System. He will be questioned fully before execution. While we have to keep our eyes open and alert, I am convinced, given all I have seen, that the immediate threat to Medina Station is under control."
"Execution," Robert said.
Salis shrugged.
"You put the ship at risk, that's what happens.
Those colony bastards weren't coming to play dice and make happy."
"At least it's over," Vanderkost said.
"Is why they let you go," Robert said, shaking her hand terminal.
"Found him. Saw you weren't involved.
Or picked someone to play the goat," Vanderkost thought.
"Only I got lucky enough it wasn't me."
"It wasn't the sort of thing you said out loud. Not at times like these."